is Couch Potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week at the box office, we are going to be looking at Pacific Rim.
I can never get the name of that movie right.
Really? What do you want to call it?
Yeah, I actually had a friend who said that the other day, that she kept calling it Real Steel, and since then, I keep calling it Real Steel.
Real Steel.
Whatever.
With giant monsters. Who?
Yeah, same thing.
I say something different, but I can't say what I say on the radio.
Oh, I can imagine.
You can guess.
I can guess.
Use your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Grown Ups 2 is also out. There's an interesting story behind that.
Yeah, that one's good.
Wow. Not the movie, just the story behind it. Also, in limited release, we're going to be looking at VHS 2, which is, of course, the sequel to VHS.
That sounds about right.
We talked about that last year. And then some news and DVD and Blu-rays and that sort of stuff. But before we do that, let's get our information out there. You can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. We'd love to talk to you. You can get us on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/FGATM. And if you want to reach me on Twitter and yell at me, you can go to twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I am KDK Reviews.
So let's just jump right in here to the box office. You were slightly off.
I was a little bit. I did say $1 billion. Now, you got it here in the notes that I said $600 trillion, which I did start out, but I kind of hedged my bets on that and toned it down a little bit for $1 billion.
I didn't know which was the more serious one. You say $600 trillion, then you go $1 billion, and I'm like, okay, what is it? That's a bit of a window.
I like to leave things open.
Why not? But $1 billion, that was fair as well.
Yeah.
I said $60 million. I was kind of low.
For Despicable Me, we're talking
for
about.
For Despicable Me, yeah, that's right. We were a little, let's just say that Price is Right rules for today. I win.
No. You win.
But
it's one of those things, though, with the holiday weekends, you never know what to count and where to come in. And
yeah.
So it just...
Well, because Despicable Me ended up making $83 million for the three-day weekend. But when you throw in Wednesday and Thursday, it's $143
million. Right.
It made $60 million those first 2 days.
That's not bad.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I remember seeing that at the beginning of the weekend, how badly it had already trounced The Lone Ranger.
Yeah. And The Lone Ranger made $29 million for the 3 day spread and $48 million for the 5 day spread.
Wah, wah.
Which, if it were 10 years ago and Johnny Depp were opening a movie, that would be great. But it's not so much now.
And not so much.
But you know what's interesting about it is if you actually look at it, it's right on par with what westerns end up making.
Well, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I mean it's
Cowboys
a Western,
and Aliens, Wild Wild West, Rango, even these sort of like high concept westerns, they all make right around $30 million.
There you go.
And what's funny about that is if you compare it to, like, say, The Heat, which which made, what, $50 million the previous week, but it was $30 million is a very respectable number for a movie to make as long as it doesn't cost $200 million to make.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Hmm.
So, yeah, The Lone Ranger was a bit of a bust. I think Disney's going to be fine.
You think?
Yeah.
You think they're going to be okay?
I think they've got stuff like Pixar and Marvel and Star Wars.
Yeah, they've got a little something called Star Wars coming up. I think they'll be all right.
Let's just put it this way. They spent – it was like when John Carter tanked last year. And then it was like, oh, is Disney in trouble? And then the Avengers comes and goes all over the box office.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing I was reading this week. You know, you at the beginning of the week, you've got your, well, The Lone Ranger didn't do so good. How's that, Disney? And then everything this week has been Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
How many things have I read this week about Star Wars? It's like Disney's like, whatever.
Yeah.
We're moving on.
Well, and the other thing that I find so funny about the talk is I a lot of people are like, well, is there a problem with Disney? And I'm like, no, because all the big flops that have happened this year, because every summer there's flops.
Oh, yeah.
And the last big flop was White House Down. That's Sony.
Yeah.
The kind of the other flops. What was another big flop this summer? I'm blanking on it. But like last year, Battleship was Universal.
Yep.
You know, so when it's a problem is when it's like three or four flops from the same company.
And it happens,
yeah.
You know, but Disney has plenty of things to make up for it. It's not really a big deal.
I don't think they're wringing their hands and checking their accounts online and being like, am I going to overdraw? So, yeah, The Lone Ranger. We'll also see what happens internationally because Johnny Depp makes 65 to 75% of his box office overseas.
Yep.
But then again, it's an American Western.
It's a Western.
Who knows?
And even Americans didn't really care about it.
No.
I didn't really, I have to say.
I think the biggest problem with it was the long running time. I think that hurt it a lot.
Which is very Western, though.
Yeah.
It was kind of long and slow. And and there weren't any werewolves in it.
No, there should have been.
There were
bunnies in it.
I know.
That was bizarre. just going down the list, then you had The Heat bringing it 25 million. What's interesting about The Heat, at 25 million on its second weekend, that's a bigger weekend than everything else Sandra Bullock has done except The Proposal and The Blind Side in their opening weekends.
Oh, jeez.
It is insane how strong this movie is and kind of sad.
That's another one of those things that makes me sad for humanity.
It does. And then Kevin Hart, Let Me Explain, did $10 million this weekend.
To come in at number 8.
Yeah.
Not bad.
And $17 million for the five-day spread. Put that in perspective. It's already, in one weekend, number 5 of stand-up comedy films and the best in the last 10 years.
It's amazing.
And movies like Eddie Murphy's Delirious and those kind of just sort of iconic concert films are the ones that it's not.
Right.
Beat yet.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin Hart?
Not bad, Kevin Hart.
Can you loan me some money?
Nah.
I need a new car. Anyways, that is how things rolled out in the box office this weekend. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr, and let's move on to some news.
Let's do that, shall we?
Let's talk about Harvey Weinstein.
Why not?
Yes.
Harvey is so much fun to talk about.
He's a fat guy.
He is. He could be on this show.
He should be on this show.
He would make the show very entertaining.
Tell me about this news story that you brought up.
Well, there's a big battle going on about this little movie called The Butler.
Yeah.
Which is Lee Daniels' latest. He's the guy who did Precious.
Oh. Push.
Yeah. So, The Butler is supposed to come out next month.
Yeah.
And now Harvey Weinstein is in a big battle with Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. Over the title of the movie. Because apparently The Butler was a movie that Warner Brothers made in, like, 1920.
1916, I think. It's in a short film at that.
Yeah. It's kind of ridiculous. But the MPAA had a ruling on it and ruled for Warner Brothers and said, yep, they can't use your movie title.
Do you know why? This is my theory.
Yes.
First of all, Harvey Weinstein is a big fat windbag.
Yes, he is.
So... He has a history of then trying to promote his movies through controversy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Especially recently.
And he is thriving on this one.
Yeah. And the last movie, if you recall, the last movie he had a controversy with was Bully.
Yeah.
Which, who did he fight in that one?
The MPAA.
Who just ruled against him on this. Pick your battles, Harvey. This is the problem. They're still cheesed off at what you did. And the MPAA is not a legal organization. It is just a self-proclaimed governing body. And they can do what they want. It's not a court of law. It's not even a court of fake law. It is just the MPAA saying, you know what?
Harvey.
Yeah, all that problem you gave us with the R rating and PG-13 to Bully, guess what? You're not going to get a call. You have to change the name of your movie that nobody's heard of and nobody even is aware of right now.
I know. I just heard of it for the first time last week.
Like
somebody was like, oh, yeah, I saw that trailer for The Butler. I'm like, the what? I don't know which movie you're talking about.
I think they should call it Precious based on the movie
The Butler
by Lee Daniels.
And they also have said that it's okay to call it Lee Daniels, The Butler.
Well, no, Warner Brothers said that.
Yeah.
But the MPAA is like, nope. You can't even call it that. This is what I want. I want to know where this goes because what is he going to do? Because is he...
It comes out in a month.
Is he just going to get an unrated for this thing now? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Because then that begs the question, what kind of power does the MPAA have? It gives you the rating. Is that what it is?
I have no idea where the MPAA came in this one.
I don't know.
I think it's insane, but hey.
This is amazing. I love the fact it's blowing up in Harvey's face.
I know.
So.
Oh,
and this will be the last you heard of it because that's what happened with Bully. He made all that bluster last year in March. And you know what? When it came time for award season, he's like, see you later. We're going to promote these other movies.
Mm-hmm.
So take that, Harvey Weinstein. Good Lord. Oh, my heavens. All right. We got to go to a break here. When we come back, we're going to do some reviews. We're going to review Grown Up. Well, we're going to talk about Grown Ups too, and VHS too.
Hey,
welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
That's right.
We were just telling Harvey Weinstein to suck it.
Suck it, Harvey! I have no patience for Harvey Weinstein.
No.
And it's so funny because I used to do independent filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone would be like, because at the time he ran Miramax. And everyone was like, oh, Miramax, that's where everybody goes. That's what, you know. And I'm like, you know what? Miramax is a death knell at the time because they like would pick those one or two movies that would do well, like Shakespeare in Love or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then all the other ones they scooped up, they would bury.
Yep.
They'd buy these foreign films like Shaolin Soccer.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
re-edit and take out 30 minutes of it and make the movie incomprehensible and then advertise it and then not release it in theaters.
Well, there you go.
Harvey, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yes.
I seriously hope that this weekend he listens to this show and then finds himself.
Because I know that he's a regular listener.
I'm sure he is. And that he just curls up in a fetal position in the shower crying and sobbing.
I'm sure he will.
Because does anybody do that? I see that in movies all the time. Does anyone really curl up in the shower and cry and sob?
I don't know.
Have you?
I haven't done it recently, no. I can't say.
I don't get much trauma in my life, so I don't know. Maybe.
Really? Because you have three kids.
Well, yeah.
Because I can imagine. They're all boys.
They're boys.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some movies.
Let's do that. Speaking of trauma.
Let's talk about
the
first movie that we didn't see.
The first one is Grown Ups 2. Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Chris Rock, and David Spade, but fortunately not Rob Schneider, are once again reunited when Sandler's Lenny decides to move his family back to his hometown.
I'm so glad we left the city. This is such a good place to raise a family.
Riding your bike to school in the morning. You couldn't do that in L.A.
Yeah, thank God there's no crazy people out here.
You become a cop after all that crap we did growing up.
Put your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. Say ho!
Oh!
Say ho!
Your car is filthy.
So let's tell the story.
Okay.
I dodged a bullet this week.
You totally dodged a bullet. There are multiple theaters in Columbus where we live.
Yes, a number of them.
The theater that they chose to have this screening at.
I had never heard of before.
it is literally in another county.
Yeah.
It is so far on the east side, it's beyond the east side. It's like outside the outer belt, and it's in a suburb that was like 20 years ago, not even a suburb.
Nice.
It was just another city.
Right.
And so I went out there to go to this, fought a massive rainstorm.
Because it's been raining for a month straight here.
Yeah. Just right now, there's just tons and tons and tons of rain. You know, another suck it, Arizona. We got the rain. So I went out there. I got there early and I pull up and I was like, oh, I'm going to go over here. And oh, look, there's a Chinese restaurant. I'll grab dinner. And I'm like, it's not open, but there's a guy in there and no lights are on. And no, there's no lights in the surrounding shops.
Mm. That's really strange.
And I walked into the Barnes & Noble and I'm like, oh, it's all dark in here. Are you guys clear? They're like, well, we lost our power. And I'm like, oh. Went down to the theater. The theater lost its power.
Uh-oh.
And I go in and they're like, well, we might show it later. So I found a restaurant that had food and electricity.
A restaurant that had food. Because in Columbus, it's kind of hard to find those.
Yeah, because we are not the
You never know.
Ever.
Yeah.
So then I went down and then finally the rep showed up and he's like, yeah, we're shutting this down. We're not going to do it. And there was like this massive traffic jam and I said, okay, I'm going to go home. So I went home and I saw like SWAT teams heading down, literally three SWAT trucks heading.
So much excitement for Adam Sandler.
And I'm like, God one, Adam Sandler zero.
There you have it.
God prevented me. The universe conspired to get me to not see this movie. An interesting side note to this story is the last live action Adam Sandler movie was That's My Boy.
Okay,
when I went to go see that, a fire alarm went off in the theater.
That's right.
So,
see, because I didn't see that one either.
And it like freezes and they kick us out of the theater. They bring us back. But I'm like, what is it with Adam Sandler? Who did he piss off?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to know.
Oh, Adam Sandler.
Anyway.
It's all because of Jack and Jill.
Probably. So I didn't see this movie. And it's tracking it in depressingly well. It's getting terrible reviews. I think it has a negative review rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
That wouldn't surprise me.
The movie makes no sense. You watch the trailer. You can't even tell what the story is.
Well, again, Grown Ups didn't make any sense either. I mean, it was just an excuse to get everybody out into like a cabin in...
And hang out.
Yeah. Ugh. And go on water slides. It's terrible. Terrible movie.
So let's put it this way. If you loved Grown Ups 1, you will probably love this movie.
That's my nephew.
If you hated Grown Ups 1, stay away. It gets... Yeah. I can't even give it a preemptive suck because they tried to screen it.
Yeah, what kind of a grade do we have for this kind of a situation?
Maybe we just say it's probably going to suck?
Yeah, probably.
But the universe stepped in. No, it's getting terrible reviews, so...
The people who actually were forced to see it didn't like it.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Kevin tried.
Yep.
I didn't even try.
You made a good... I've done that too. You've gone to movies where like suddenly the film breaks and then monsters invade and all
that
kind of thing.
Yeah, I've had a melt in the middle of screenings. Yeah.
Mm. And you'll come back and you'll tell me about it. I'll be like, well, I'm glad I missed that one.
Yep.
Tables have turned, Kramer. All right. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Chris and Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. The next movie we're going to talk about, real quick, is VHS 2, which is an independent horror anthology film.
Yes.
It's by The Collective and Bloody Disgusting. So you already, you know, they're not burying the lead with this one. When they say Bloody Disgusting presents...
It's true.
Don't expect Romper Room.
No?
No.
All right.
Let's just play the trailer. This bloody sequel to the horror anthology from last year sees five more stories of terror caught on tape.
So what's the deal now?
Just this woman thinks her son is missing.
Doesn't look like anyone's home. Here, look at this.
These tapes only affect you if you play it at a correct sequence.
It's amazing the things they catch on tape these days.
I know. Well, this is the thing that I liked. First of all, I'm going to say I liked this movie. And I like sort of these modern anthology movies because they got VHS and they had the ABCs of Death.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always liked anthology movies and they kind of went out of favor. And they're kind of coming back. Now, what's interesting about this, the VHS and VHS 2 are both found footage.
Of course.
And you know my thoughts on found footage.
And I share your thoughts on found footage, yes.
In general, I hate them.
And it could go away anytime now.
But I'll tell you. VHS 2, like VHS, has a unique way of working it in, for the most part.
Hmm, okay.
There's five stories. Like, the first three are really good, and then there's a wraparound story. The first three are good. The wraparound stories, it's standard. And the last story is kind of terrible. But they're very innovative the way they use... They do one of them with a documentary film crew, which is not... But they have, like, lapel cameras and stuff like that they're sneaking in.
Okay.
So at least you don't have the reason, you know, where zombies are attacking and they still hold a camera. And there's one where a guy gets an ocular implant that records everything. And that's kind of neat because I'm like, well, at least that makes sense. And they're very shocking and it's a very violent movie. It's not rated, so it's an unrated film. It's very bloody. But horror fans, give this one a shot.
So what's the release on this one? Because it's been on video on demand for a while, right?
It's been on VOD for about a month.
Yep.
And it's coming in limited release this week. And it's going to be rolling out in sort of that rock and roll limited release.
So it's kind of a random cities. One of those things. But you can find it online already.
You can just get it. It's like $10 online, iTunes and Amazon and that sort of thing. And that's actually the way I suggest seeing it. You can go see it in the theater, too, to get the audience reaction.
Which is always kind of fun.
Yeah. But it's still good. Go check it out. VHS 2 gets a rocks from me. We got to go to a break. When we come back, Pacific Rim and box office.
Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Oppan Gangnam Style.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Hello!
We talked a little bit about VHS. You're not a big fan of horror, though, are you?
It's one of those things that, you know, as a girl, I never really got a chance to watch growing up. Mm-hmm. So I like a certain kind of horror.
What kind of horror do you like? Yeah, I'm just curious.
Yeah. Insidious? Loved.
Okay.
Loved Insidious. The ones that are just kind of bloody slasher films that are Saw movies, not interested.
You just don't... You don't like the gore or you want something more creative?
It's just kind of unnecessary to me.
Okay.
It's just kind of silly. And yeah, movies like Friday the 13th and stuff like that, when they get a little silly and fun, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
So, but my problem is my husband won't watch them.
Really?
So if there's a scary movie, I have to watch it by myself.
No kidding.
So I have to watch it when he's gone, which doesn't help.
In the empty house.
Yeah.
Creaking doors and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. What's funny, just one more thing on VHS, too, is they have different directors, obviously, doing each short.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a certain level of extremeness that comes. And I realize in watching it, one of them is I don't know if it's an Indonesian director, but it takes place in Indonesia.
Okay.
And I'm watching, I'm like, why are the Asian horror directors so twisted and screwed up? Because
it makes you wonder what happens in Asia.
It makes me wonder if they ever release anything but weird, twisted, crazy horror in Asia.
It's true.
Because whenever there's something that's exported, it's always some just bizarre, weird...
Oh, it's messed up, yeah.
Yeah, Spike Lee's Old Boy trailer just dropped, and that's based on Chan-Wook Park's
right.
movie. Crazy Korean director. And you've got Takashi Miike. I'm like, do they make anything? Because you've got like crazy extreme Asian horror and Studio Ghibli. That is
what you get from Asia right now. It is true. It's kind
of
crazy.
It is sort of. I mean, because like France does a bunch of crazy horror. They've done stuff like Inside and Martyrs and that kind
but
of stuff.
But they do other things. They do artsy French movies.
Yeah. So when you say French movies, you
and
don't
they do good comedies. French comedies are great.
They're known for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's watch this nice little French movie called Martyrs, which is really shocking. All right, let's talk about the next movie.
Let's do that.
That is Pacific Rim. Guillermo del Toro. I started to do a Spanish accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kind of dropped it off in the end there.
An accent. It wouldn't have been Spanish. But I figured I have too much respect for the director. Guillermo del Toro directs this modern American version of Japanese kaiju movies with giant robots battling an invasion of creatures from an interdimensional rift. Documentary style.
We always thought alien life would come from the stars. But it came from deep beneath the sea, a portal between dimensions in the Pacific Ocean. Something out there had discovered us. They counted on the humans to hide, to give up, to fail.
Today we face the monsters that are at our door. Today we are canceling the apocalypse.
Real steel. Meets Transformers, meets Battleship.
I don't necessarily disagree with that assessment.
I know, it's just, and it was funny because I've been watching the trailers for so long, and I'm like, yep, Real Steel, Transformers, Battleship.
Yeah.
And it totally is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's a summer movie.
Yeah. Did you like it? I remember walking out of the screen and you're just kind of like,
I was kind of indifferent toward the whole thing. And it looks awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, Guillermo del Toro, when it comes to making monsters, this guy rules.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, there's just not enough of them.
And there's a fat one, too.
You get some glimpses of monsters. You get, you know, an arm here and a leg there and, you know, a giant gaping mouth here. And that's really cool. But they're all, like, all of the action scenes are really kind of dark and disorienting. So you don't see as much as I really would have liked.
You know what's funny is I took my son Liam, who's 12.
Yep.
And I've said this before, to me, the 12-year-old child in me just loved this movie. And it's what it's made for. It's made for 12-year-old kids who want to see robots and monsters battle. And one of the things, what I find it interesting, your comment on that, is because Liam said the opposite. He's like, this was great because they actually showed the monsters in this.
Well, they do a little bit.
Yeah.
You get a couple glimpses, but I wanted to see, like, monsters fighting and, like, cool, big monsters. And
you wanted the wide money shot.
Well, yeah.
And there's
you get a couple, but not a lot.
No, you're right.
A lot of times it's just flailing arms. And I was like, well, but I want to see the monsters because Guillermo del Toro is awesome with monsters.
Yeah. So. Well, we saw it in the IMAX,
which is
amazing.
Yes.
But the screen, I'd be curious to see how it would be on a smaller screen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to go see it again in the drive-in. I told Liam that we go to the drive-in. And so I'm curious to see how it looks because the IMAX screen is so big, it is kind of overwhelming to kind of take it all in.
Yeah, it's huge.
And you and I, because I saw where you were sitting, I was basically a row or two ahead of you. So we are kind of the same distance from it. So I'm curious to see, because I don't think the trailer, when I've seen the trailer on DVD, it doesn't look as overwhelming as it does in the... So I don't know. We'll see. I'm curious to see it again. But I loved it. I have to, and the story's not good.
Oh,
and
it's a mess.
The characters are terrible, and Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy is not a good actor.
He's kind of non-existent.
But you know what? I didn't care.
For me, the tone of this movie was a lot like The Lone Ranger. It was all over the place.
Yeah.
And I understand, you know, in a summer movie, you want some comic relief. But I wasn't sure if they needed to tone down the drama a little bit or tone down the comedy. Because you would have wacky scenes with, like, these two researchers who, you know, don't agree on anything and they're crazy. And then all of a sudden it cuts to the next scene and it's, like, Shakespearean drama with Idris Elba. And it's like, hold on! What is going on here? I don't know if this is supposed to be funny or really dramatic or if I'm supposed to be sad. I am kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, you're totally right on that because as I was watching it, it does have this inconsistent tone.
Yeah.
But that's very Guillermo del Toro.
If he could have just evened it out a little bit. I'm all for comic relief, and you know, and even if it had all been goofier,
yeah,
totally cool. But yeah, just whoo, all over the place.
Well, what's funny with that is I've seen quite a few of his movies, even his old earlier stuff, like his Mexican stuff. But his most even toned film was Pan Labyrinth because it was just dark and depressing through the whole
movie. Oh yeah, yeah.
There's not a shred of humor in that film. But what were the two guys, Charlie Day and I forget the other guy's name who played the wacky scientist
today? I don't remember.
I loved them, but they felt, to me, they were very much that side character. Del Toro did that in the second Hellboy movie with the guy that Seth MacFarlane voiced, the suit guy.
They just felt like they were in a completely different movie.
Yeah.
Like, Idris Elba had no idea that those guys were in that movie.
They shared,
because
like, two
scenes. Because he is, like, totally Shakespearean drama through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then these two little guys come in, and they're all, you know, fighting about monsters, and and... Oh, yeah.
And they're very cheeky and silly and goofy.
Yeah, and that's fine, but it just didn't fit with everything else.
Yeah. It's just so funny because I feel like the Michael Bay fan watching a Transformer film, just acknowledging that it's absolute garbage, but loved the heck out of it. And that's how I was with Pacific Rim. I just loved the experience.
It's a summer movie, and that's what you get. It's not brilliant by any stretch of the imagination, but it looks really cool.
Well, and the thing
and that's
is,
what you're looking for.
So many movies this summer have disappointed me in some way. I liked Star Trek, but I had some things I was disappointed at. I liked The Great Gatsby to a degree, but things disappointed me. I liked Lone Ranger to a degree, but it disappointed me. Man of Steel, same thing. This was the first one that didn't disappoint me, and I don't know whether it's because I'm putting it up against all the other movies that kind of disappointed me, or I just wasn't expecting anything beyond giant monster battles.
Yeah. Battleship.
But no.
Real
Steel. Oh, it's so much better than Battleship. Battleship is, it didn't have Rihanna just sort of barking through her lines.
It's true.
Lines.
It did have plenty of other things to make up for not having Rihanna, though.
Okay. Had a cute bulldog. All right, final grade.
I'm going to say that it kind of rocks.
Just barely over the hump, right?
It just barely made it for me.
I'm saying it totally rocks just because I'm a giant 12-year-old child.
You are. It's true.
All right, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Let's roll into the box office predictions. What do you think? We only got like 30 seconds. What do you think's going to win?
I'm going to give it to Pacific Rim.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how much?
Because I can't say Grown Ups.
Okay. How much do you think it's going to make?
I'll give it 60.
60 million? Wow, you're going high on that.
Yeah.
60 million for Pacific Rim. I am saying that it's going to be Despicable Me 2 again.
Really?
At 45 million.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens when we come back next week. And not going with a 586 trillion billion.
Definitely not for this one, no.
All right. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk DVDs.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Yep.
You had an interesting news article that you wanted to talk about.
I did. I found this. A friend of mine posted it on Facebook, and it's from Forbes, and not really as much about what the article's saying. The general 10,000-foot level of the article, I think, is more the interesting point that dovetails into a greater discussion. Mm-hmm. And it basically says it's six reasons why DVDs still make money and why they won't die anytime soon. And it gives six reasons that are
yes, cool.
But I wanted to get your take on that because I know people that are like really into just sort of like anything technical and they're like, oh, I got this down the cloud and I've got this. And I know people who, you know, download movies onto external hard drives. And I'm like, those guys aren't mainstream. Mm,
I have seen too many movies to trust the cloud.
I guess my question to you, because you're not that sort of crazy technocrat.
Mm-mm.
Necessarily.
No, I like holding things in my hands.
Are you a big physical media person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have an ebook reader, you know, looking at literature and I like to use it every once in a while, but I still, you've seen my bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
I like my books.
Yeah.
I like to be able to look at them and feel them and have them and know that they're there.
Okay.
You know, because the digital ones, they often go away.
Yeah.
And that's the thing for me. I like to have them and keep
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things that you don't get as much with digital because they make ways of taking them away.
Yep. Well, and that's the thing. And I also think there's a different thing happening. Visual entertainment
mm-hmm.
is different than books, which is different than music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a general, the prevailing wisdom of it's all going to online and streaming
mm-hmm.
is that it's going to follow the same pattern that music did.
Hmm.
And to a degree, books, even though books are not dead, and
oh,
I don't
no.
think books are ever going to die.
No.
Because there are people that like to quite literally curl up with a good book.
Oh, yeah. And it's just not the same if you have an ebook reader.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a Nook that has the black and white that makes it look more like a book
yeah.
instead of the color screens now. It feels like reading on a computer and I don't like doing that.
I don't like reading I don't have much time to read. I used to read a lot when I was like in college and right afterwards,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't have time to read because I have to watch so much stuff.
Right.
And I mean, you do book reviews and that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of make the time in your life. My wife's a big reader. She likes the Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
She does use a Kindle, but I don't think I'd ever get into that. I like you. I like having a physical page.
Yeah,
there.
I prefer having a book to turn pages on and to carry with me and to know how far through the book I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, you can look at it on the side. Oh, there's my bookmark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the other thing is even though a Kindle can hold like 100 or 200 books or whatever it
mm-hmm.
is, I get that as an incentive. But I was always a one book a time kind of person anyway.
Oh yeah.
So I just have the book with me if I would carry it.
For me, it's really nice on vacation.
Yeah.
If we go away for a week, then I don't have to pack three books in my suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice to just toss that in and, you know, have it on a plane, even though it's kind of a pain that you have to wait until you turn it on.
Sure.
I would like to be reading right away.
Mm-hmm.
But it is convenient when you're traveling.
Yeah.
But I still like my books.
Yeah. And when it comes to movies, I think that there's a huge incentive for people to just still have there's a certain human nature
mm-hmm.
to wanting to have something.
To oh, yeah.
physically holding your hand. But beyond just that, and here's why it's different than music. Music, there was a huge leap in convenience from CDs to an MP3 player
mm-hmm.
because you could put a thousand songs on an MP3 player.
Yeah.
You could shuffle them around. You could move them around instantly.
Yeah.
You didn't have to have some sort of spinning disc in this big cumbersome thing hanging from your side. And it makes it easier and they're all short and you can listen to them very portably.
Right.
DVDs are not...
Movies aren't as easy to watch.
No, you
digitally.
Can't like watch movies. You shouldn't be watching movies when you're driving.
Right.
You know, and even then, the connectivity issue if you're driving is mm-hmm. going to become an issue. And you can have them in a digital format. But like you said, with books, even more so with movies, it can be taken away.
Yep.
And a great example, recently Disney re-released Lady and the Tramp on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember before that release, I knew somebody was trying to find a copy, like they wanted a copy. And I'm like, this is the problem with streaming.
Right.
Is you have rights that go away and then you can't get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you buy it, the company can still decide to discontinue streaming
yep.
it. And we saw that with one of the video game systems, the most recent, I think it was the Windows video game system.
Okay.
They suddenly did a thing where they all of a sudden your old games wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all stored digitally and you couldn't have access to them. And it's like, you know what? If you love a movie, no one's going to come into your house and take that movie away from you
right.
off your shelf. Like, remember when Tron, Legacy was coming out, mm-hmm. they pulled Tron, the original, from print. And people were spending $100 to buy VHS copies of it. Mm-hmm. You still had a VHS clamshell copy of Tron. You could still watch it as long as your player works. Mm-hmm. DVDs still work in Blu-ray players. And Blu-ray has not surpassed DVDs to completely get rid of them. Mm-hmm. So
I like having my wall of movies. It makes me happy.
Yeah. People like to display them. There's a collect- Now, if you, I think streaming's great for just sort of passive viewing. You're just like, oh, what's this movie? Well, let me check it out.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. And now a lot of Blu-rays come with digital copies. Mm-hmm. So I can have copies that I can access from my phone. So if we're traveling, you know, I can look it up. But I still have the copy, and that is important to me.
And it doesn't actually make it any more, much marginally more expensive to produce, because you can put that on the DVD and you can rip it off of there. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a certain level of digital storage that might happen, and they might change, go to a different format. But I still think people want to have to there's a certain human instinct to own something. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily need that with music because it's so cumbersome to own music, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I think that was an interesting article.
Yeah.
So you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. And we are now ready for the next segment, which we like to call the world famous
DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw!
Woohoo!
There's a lot of movies this week, and they're
not a lot
all
of noteworthy ones.
Yeah.
No.
There's Spring Breakers, which this one made a lot of buzz because Harmony Korine is sort of this indie darling, the guy who directed it.
And James Franco's in it.
And James Franco's fantastic in it, by the way.
I hear he's the best part of it, actually.
I think I'm going to probably nominate him for an award in my voting this year, but the movie's not good, but he's really good in it. Mm. It's the one where it's the sort of where he didn't act in Oz. He's totally acting in this one.
Nice.
But it's this weird little hedonistic adventure, and it's so hit you over the head with certain things, and it's not very subtle. And I know people liked it, but I was just more bored with it than anything else. Mm. But hey, breasts.
There you go.
It had breasts. There's also The Host, which was not a good movie.
Speaking of great movies.
Stephanie Meyer, speaking of your bookshelf.
I see
it on your bookshelf.
I still haven't read it.
You don't need
probably
to.
Not going to.
You could watch the movie or not. It's
or
not
good. No.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Twilight style.
Nice.
So that's what that is. There's Admission, which I recall you liked.
I did. I thought it was kind of charming.
Yeah,
it's
watched
not great,
it again.
But yeah, it's
it was. I kind of felt the same way about it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with.
It's a little slow. It's not a wacky comedy. It's just.
Yeah. Well, and you're also you're a little more academic. Minded, I'd say.
I guess. Okay.
I don't know if that's how to say it.
All right.
Dead Man Down, that one's out, I believe, this week.
It is.
That's the one with Noomi Rapace and Colin Farrell. It's a terrible movie. It's where Noomi Rapace is like, I'm so disfigured, and she just has like a little bit of scarring.
Mm,
and you're still adorable and more attractive than 90% of the female population. So I take a scarred up Noomi Rapace over a lot of people. You hear that, Noomi? Give me a call.
Nice.
There's The Gatekeepers, which I didn't see. Did you see this one?
I did not, no.
Yeah, it's an independent one. There's Warehouse 13 Season 4. Do you watch the Sci-Fi Channel much?
Not as much as I should. I really want to, but I just don't have time.
It's way higher quality than stuff like Sharknado.
Because I really want to watch Sharknado.
I think we all should want to watch Sharknado. Mm-hmm. Warehouse 13 is a neat little series about people who hunt down artifacts that cause crazy things happening, and it's in this final season. It's coming up. It's only 6 episodes, but it's a neat show. Mm. It's sort of along the lines, has the same feeling of something like Eureka.
Okay,
if you watch that, The Jerk is on Blu-ray.
I love The Jerk.
The Jerk is amazing.
Love The Jerk.
It's not a new transfer, but
I think I watched it once a week when I was a freshman in college. Once a week, we all got together and watched it.
Cans. Mm. He hates cans.
The new phone books are here. Anyway.
Unforgettable Season 1. I don't watch that. Did you watch that?
No. Nope.
Poppy Montgomery is the star
of
it.
Sure.
And then The Legend of Korra, Book 1, which is a fantastic little Nickelodeon show by the same people who do Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Okay.
And that's it. The stinker of the week is Tyler Perry's Temptations, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my Lord. This movie was terrible. I went and paid to see this, and it was bad.
Oh, Kevin.
But it was amazingly bad, and no one was in the audience with me, and I tweeted through the entire thing.
Nice.
Anyways, review wrap-up. Grown Ups 2 gets a probably will suck. Pacific Rim, I said rocks. You said it just
kind of rocks.
And then VHS 2, I said it rocked. Next week, we're going to be talking about The Conjuring, Ripped, R-I-P-D, Red 2, and Turbo. Until then, check us out at fatguysatthemovies.com, and that's about it.
See ya.